Chapter 7. What Quiet Is. Mrs. Peters looked from the dead bird to the broken door of the cage, and again their eyes met. Just then there was a sound at the outside door, so Mrs. Hale slipped the box under the quilt pieces in the basket and sank into the chair before it. Mrs. Peters stood holding onto the table. The county attorney and the sheriff came in from the outside. "Well, ladies," said Mr. Henderson, as one turning from serious things to nicer thoughts, "have you decided whether she was going to quilt it or not it?"
"We think," began the sheriff's wife in the same nervous voice, "that she was going to not it."
He was too busy to notice the change that had come in her voice. "Well, that's very interesting," he said patiently, and then caught sight of the birdcage. "Has the bird flown?"
"We think the cat got it," replied Mrs. Hale in a calm and steady voice. Mr. Henderson was walking up and down as if in thought.
"Is there a cat?" he asked, not really listening for the reply. Mrs. Hale shot a look up at the sheriff's wife.
"Well, not now, as they're indifferent, you know, and they leave," said Mrs. Peters, sinking into a chair.
The county attorney did not listen and said to the sheriff, "No sign of anyone having come in from the outside, and it was their own rope used. Now let's go upstairs again and go over it piece by piece. It would have to have been someone who knew just the..." The stair door closed behind them, and their voices were lost. The two women sat motionless, not looking at each other, but as if staring into something and at the same time holding back. When they spoke now, it was as if they were afraid of what they were saying, but as if they could not help saying it. "She liked the bird, and she was going to bury it in that pretty box," said Martha Hale slowly.
"When I was a girl," said Mrs. Peters under her breath, "my kitten, there was a boy, he took an axe, and before my eyes, before I could get there..."
She covered her face an instant.
"If they hadn't held me back, I would have..."
She caught herself, looked upstairs where footsteps were heard, and finished weakly, "hurt him." Then they sat without speaking or moving.
"I wonder how it would seem," Mrs. Hale at last began, as if feeling her way over strange ground,
"never to have had any children around."
Her eyes made a slow sweep of the kitchen, as if seeing what that kitchen had meant to Minnie Wright through all the years.
"No, Wright wouldn't like that bird," she said after that. "A thing that sang. She used to sing, and he killed that too." Her voice tightened.
Mrs. Peters moved uncomfortably. "Of course we don't know who killed the bird."
"I knew John Wright," was Mrs. Hale's answer.
"It was an awful thing that was done in this house that night, Mrs. Hale," said the sheriff's wife. "Killing a man while he slept. Slipping a thing round his neck that choked the life out of him."
Mrs. Hale's hand went out to the birdcage. "His neck choked the life out of him."
"We don't know who killed him," whispered Mrs. Peters wildly. "We don't know."
Mrs. Hale had not moved. "If there had been years and years of nothing, then to have a bird to sing to you, it would be awfully quiet after the bird was still." It was as if something within her, but not herself, had spoken, and it found in Mrs. Peters something the sheriff's wife did not know as herself. "I know what quiet is," she said in a strange voice. "When we lived in Dakota, and my first baby died, after he was 2 years old, and me with no other than..." Then Mrs. Hale asked, "How soon do you suppose they'll be through looking for the evidence?"
"I know what quiet is," repeated Mrs. Peters in the same way.
Then she, too, pulled back.
"The law has got to punish crime, Mrs. Hale," she said in her tight little way.
"I wish you'd seen Minnie Foster," was the answer, "when she wore a white dress with blue ribbons and stood up there in the choir and sang. The picture of that girl, the fact that she had lived as neighbor to that girl for 20 years and had let her die for lack of life,
was suddenly more than she could bear. "Oh, I wish I'd come over here once in a while," she cried. "That was a crime. That was a crime. Who's going to punish that?"
"We mustn't take it on," said Mrs. Peters with a frightened look toward the stairs.
"I should have known she needed help.
I tell you, it's strange, Mrs. Peters, how we live close together and yet we live far apart. We all go through the same things. It's all just different kinds of the same thing. If it weren't, then why do you and I understand, and why do we know what we know this minute?"
She wiped her hand across her eyes and then, seeing the jar of fruit on the table, she reached for it and choked out,
"If I were you, I wouldn't tell her that the fruit was gone. Instead, tell her it isn't. Tell her it's all right. All of it. Here, take this in to prove it to her. She may never know whether it was broken or not," she said, turning away.
Mrs. Peters reached out for the jar of fruit as if she were glad to take it, as if touching a familiar thing, having something to do, could keep her from something else. She got up, looked about for something to wrap the jar of fruit in, took a slip from the pile of clothes she had brought from the front room, and nervously started putting that round the bottle.
"My," she began in a high, false voice, "it's a good thing the men couldn't hear us, getting all excited over a little thing like a dead bird."
She hurried on, saying,
"As if that could have anything to do with, my, wouldn't they laugh?"
Footsteps were heard on the stairs.
"Maybe they would," muttered Mrs. Hale. "Maybe they wouldn't."